Welcome back to the Power Hour. We're talking to Pastor Nicholas Wright. I believe that one of the perplexing things about people who study America, who study law, jurisdiction, you know, corporate America, the Republic, all these things, one of the most perplexing things is the contrast between churches now and churches 250 years ago, their political speech. They think to talk about the government is it's not political. Political speech is, you know, what color are we painting the rec center in town or something. That's a political speech. Not who are you. You know, these churches think that you can't talk about these things when they don't even understand the dynamic that's even at play. Pastor Nicholas Wright, we're talking about absolute truths. We're talking about we're abrogating our responsibility. You were mentioning that before the break. Why don't you finish that thought, then I'll ask you a direct question about churches today.
Okay. Let me hit on Matthew 4. 1-11, because we're talking about the temptation that Jesus went through. There's a simple definition of de jure would basically be that which is right or legitimate and lawful. And de facto is that which basically is an operation, has to be accepted, but yet it's illegal and illegitimate. And so, like we're saying, there was in this issue with Jesus and Satan head to head, there were some things that were presented to Jesus, you know, by Lucifer. And Jesus always, he answered, it is written, when he was asked to make the, you know, you're the Son of God. If you're the Son of God, then command these stones to be made bread. And he immediately went to the scriptures. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then he took him up, you know, to the temple and said, why don't you just throw yourself down? And, you know, basically God will take care of it. And he said, it's written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And then he took him to a high place and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the moment of time. He said, now all this will be yours if you bow down and worship me. And then he says, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And the scripture there says that Satan, that he departed. And for me, that helped me to see, it was a good illustration to me of, you know, where de jure and de facto are concerned. Because basically, Satan, Lucifer had his hand on mankind. And because of his relationship to man, because of what happened in the garden, can't go into all that in detail right now. But basically, what he said is what went for the most part with man. But now what Jesus did is he brought what was real and true law into the issue here and began to spoke it. And so there's something that we all have heard, and it is this. When the de jure is in operation, the de facto must do what? It must go away. And to me, it's just a perfect illustration of someone operating on spiritual de jure, so to speak, that which is, it is law, it's what is legitimate. And when that is stood up for, Satan cannot stand against it. Well, when we come back to our nation, our land, or America, let's put it this way, and we go back to what is legitimate, what is lawful, what is right, which was delivered to us in our inception, and we will begin to find out what it takes to stand up for that and do what's necessary, us individually, then when we do that, the de facto has to go away.
That's powerful what you just said. We sometimes get in this dynamic like we're a victim. Well, they're doing this, and they're all powerful, and hell no, you can't fight City Hall, blah, 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 whatever. When the reality is, we're the sleeping giant. People who believe in God, who have a passion for this, who feel a fire for this, we're the sleeping giant in this whole thing, and they're just the little ants running around the tying us up in knots.
See, this brings us also to what has to happen in our local churches. If we see this big picture like we see it all throughout the scriptures, and then we see the way that God delivered it to these writers of the New Testament, like to Paul and John and Peter, and particularly Paul, because what he brings to the forefront to the church is that the fact that, and we've talked about this before, whose we are and who we are. And in our churches, the meat of what we are supposed to be declaring, teaching, helping our people with is the fact that when you come to Christ, you belong to God. He has everything good for you. And then secondly, he speaks into our lives and tells us who we are. And when we start seeing what he says about who we are, there's nothing weak about it, nothing frail about who we are, nothing that puts us in a place where we are to expect to be overrun by darkness. I mean, he tells us that greater is he who's in us than he who's in the world. The scripture tells us that we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus with good works that he's prepared for us to walk in. He tells us that we are accepted in the beloved. He tells us that he's freely given us all things. He tells us that we're a new creation, that we're the righteousness of God in Christ. And if we talk to, if we just cut a cross-section of believers in our churches, and we just, you know, cut a cross-section and started to talk to them about these things, and we ask believers, who are you? It would amaze you the answers that we get. And in most instances, we don't hear, like the scriptures that I just quoted, we don't hear that coming from the mouths of most believers. We hear defeat. We hear pessimism. We hear people wanting to get done with what's going on in the earth and get to heaven and rapture out and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, there are good things that are waiting on us, but that's not, God didn't put us here to have a defeatist attitude. And so when we start understanding, number one, that we belong to God and he has taken responsibility for all the good that is prepared for our lives. And then secondly, he tells us how vital we are to him and what we can do through him. I mean, this would paint a totally different picture in the church if this is what was going on in our congregations. We were being told what God says we are, who he says we are, what we can do in and through him, and what he's provided for us. And that in itself would totally transform this nation.
Let me talk about your congregation for a moment. It's been, you know, you speak to this. It's been a couple of years now, I believe, since you started to instill some of these, what people will think political ideas, but instill these political ideas within the scriptures to your congregation and how different they maybe have heard before. Talk about your church, how they accept it, what have you, how you present this to them.
The first and foremost for us has, for most of the years that we've been pastoring, the major theme that would run through just about everything is what I just shared with you. And it'll always go back to this foundation that we belong to God and who he has made us in Christ. And so out of that grows everything. If we take, it doesn't matter what the subject matter is. I mean, if we go back to that foundation, we always find out what God has to say. Then, you know, in bits and pieces over the years, there are things that I have been sharing about, you know, what we've been talking about today, where jurisdiction, all kind of stuff is concerned, but never to the degree that we have the past couple of years, because I didn't see the fullness of the connection. And the jurisdiction issue was the thing that just totally, it blew this thing up for me, because I could see it in the scripture for one. And when I saw it on this land, that just cleared up everything. And so I started to look at our history in the light of the jurisdiction that we're supposed to live on, under. And so I started sharing these things, and I would give materials out and, you know, refer to different people that talked about these things. And what started to happen is that in the different illustrations and things that we would share, people in their experiences would start to look and see, whoa, this is what's going on in my life or where I work, in my paperwork, all these different things. And they start to see these things for themselves. And it's like the lights start starting to come on. And so by their own experience, they're starting to pick up on the realities of what's going on our land.
Is it exciting them? Is it making them afraid? Is it enlivening them, empowering them? What?
The beginning, there's a lot of apprehension, just like it is with, you know, many things that are new to people. And especially when we have been accustomed to living a particular way for so long, and we've been told that things are a particular way for so long, and then to come along and hear that it's not that way, it's like you have to give up your security blanket, so to speak, because we've been entrenched in certain things for so long, but we have not experienced what really, really, really is true. But as time started to go on and people would do their own digging, their own searching, their own comparing, it's like the fear starts turning to something else. It starts turning to anger, and then it then turns to excitement. And there are a number of different emotions that just kind of rush at the same time, because when we compare what, and this is the I don't want to say parallel, congruency. When we started to see who we were in the scriptures, it was very uncomfortable for a lot of people as well. Because when somebody points to you that 2 Corinthians 5:21 says you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, you're thinking in your head, I am nowhere near the righteousness of God. But because God said it, you receive it, and then you begin to receive understanding about what that means. You start to settle into that. Wait a minute, this is who I am. God says that. So that's the first thing I need to do is receive what he said. Well, the same thing when he starts telling us things about what our nation is founded on and what America really is supposed to be about. And we begin to look back at the documents and to look back at history and then look at all the different changes that have gone on. And people begin to see that. It's like, well, wait a minute. Now, where is this at? This is what's supposed to be a part of my experience. And so then we start moving towards that. And that is what is happening in the congregation with that, just as, you know, the same as us finding out our spiritual inheritance.
How many pastors do you know of that are preaching the Bill of Rights and the Declaration of Independence? Do you know many? I don't. I know there's a couple out there I know. This is America's pastor, ladies and gentlemen. This is the man, and his message is extremely important. It's God's message. It's America's message. Stay tuned on the other side. Getting back with Pastor Wright and responsibility and where we are and what have you, all of that. That's what he teaches at his church, at his congregation, Covenant Love Christian Center. They're outside of Dallas, Texas. Pastor Wright, let's go ahead and continue, sir, with responsibility. Okay. Or wherever you want to go with it.
Right. We, as of late, one of the things that has come up and that we're really zeroing in on is freedom and the fact that freedom requires responsibility. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, he said, if we continued in his word or we abode or abide in his word, we would know the truth, and the truth would make us free. So freedom, and actually there are a lot of different definitions for freedom. We gave just a couple that were meaningful to us. One definition of freedom means deliverance from any kind of bondage, including involuntary or fraudulent servitude. And it also, freedom is the right to choose one's own destiny. And that freedom is based on truth. And if one is convicted of truth and acts on it, that truth will always enforce freedom, which is what Jesus said. You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So when freedom is something that we all are supposed to have. We have a right to choose our own destiny. God gave us that right. No man has the right to, you know, make us go a particular route. Doesn't matter who you are, whether you're in church or not in church. Nobody has the right to force you into a particular destiny. We have a right to choose that for ourselves. But freedom is something that is based on truth. And so if we are going to really, really be free, number one, we're going to have to know what truth is. And then two, we're going to have to be totally and completely sold out to it. Now, when a person is made free, one of the things that has to happen is we have to learn how to keep that freedom, because there's always going to be someone or some force that is going to attempt to bring us back into bondage. And I was thinking about there's a scripture in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, where Paul encouraged those believers to stand fast in the liberty or the freedom that Christ has made them free, and not to be entangled again in the yoke of bondage. And so bondage is always going to be out there trying to take your freedom away and bring you back into bondage. And I thought about something, and we talked about this before, that Andrew Jackson said in his farewell address on March 4th, 1837. And he made this statement. He said, "You must remember, my fellow citizens, that eternal vigilance by the people is the price of liberty, and that you must pay the price if you wish to secure the blessing." And so it's like there's always going to be something trying to put you on lockdown. And in order to not be in bondage, I'll have to, every day I'm going to have to look at what causes me to be free and enforces my freedom and stay with it, because there's always going to be something trying to bring me back into bondage. And so then we also talked about some major responsibilities of freedom. One of them was, of course, obedience to the Lord. And we can take these and we can bring them right on over into what we're dealing with on our land, because we're talking about law and jurisdiction. And what is right and what is true is what is right and what is true, period. So if we find out what is right, what is true, and we adhere to it, we give our convictions to it, we're going to live the kind of free lives that we were meant to live. So obedience to the Lord is the first major responsibility of freedom. Secondly, respect for others, their rights, and what belongs to them. Thirdly, self-government. And then fourthly, that we teach others how to walk in the degree of freedom that we have learned to walk in. So from there, we started to talk about why it is that Satan has had so much success against people in both the church and in America, and has success in keeping people in bondage. And there were a number of different things that we looked at that will enforce bondage and keep us out of freedom. Number one is our lack of knowledge of the Father's plan for our individual lives, for the church, and for America. To find out those things, you are always going to have to go back to foundational things. What happened in the Garden of Eden? What happened when Jesus was raised from the dead? What happened? What was delivered to us in the Declaration of Independence, Constitution, Bill of Rights? Always going to have to go back to the foundation of the source. Another thing that will contribute to bondage is our continued laziness and refusal to read and educate ourselves.
We're talking to Pastor Nicholas Wright of the Covenant Love Christian Center, and he has a very different view of things and about responsibility and about freedom. What is freedom? Where does freedom come from? Of course, he has a religious, people call it religious, biblical take on this, point of view from this. But that's where the Declaration of Independence is so miraculous, because secular thought, religious thought, they all meet at that same place. Who are you? I promise you, ladies and gentlemen, I studied this 9 ways to Sunday. Who are you? That is what all this is about. The dog catcher writing you a ticket to what the court, what happens in court, to what do you own your land or own your car or get a loan at the bank. Who are you? That's what all this comes down to. And Pastor Wright is on that wall fighting it for our republic, our inheritance, and for his God. Pastor Wright, why don't you can just pick up right where you left off. I was just really enjoying it.
Sure. So we were talking about why darkness has had such success in keeping people in the church and in America and individual people in bondage. Of course, we left off. Well, some of these things are hard for many people to want to digest, because there's been such this thing in the air that challenges people not to take responsibility, especially within the last few decades. We have really seen this happen in our land, that, you know, people want to blame other people for why they can't get ahead. They want to blame other people for why they're like they are and all these different things. And really, I look at it all comes down to personal responsibility. What am I willing to do when I look in the mirror and accept what I need to do, either to make changes in me, and then what can I do, what do I need to do to help bring change and affect change around me? And it means that I have to accept some responsibility. I can't blame things on everybody else. And so one of the reasons why we have challenges and remain in bondage is because we are lazy and we don't read and educate ourselves. Knowledge just becomes power. The scriptures teach us that, but it's also a general deal. If you don't know something, you can't walk in it, except you do it by accident. And that's going to be very, very, very rare. So if I want to walk in freedom and I want to know what freedom is, I'm going to have to read. I'm going to have to educate myself. And it may mean that I've got to, you know, put aside some TV time and put aside some sleeping time or whatever. If I really want to know and understand what truth is for me and I want to walk in it and help others to walk in it, I'm going to have to educate myself. And we have not been encouraged to the degree that we should be to educate ourselves, whether it's in church, whether it's in, you know, in law, our nation, whatever. If you really want something, you're going to do what it takes to find out the knowledge. And then what you're going to have to do, what I'm going to have to do, is apply the knowledge that I find. One of the other reasons that we deal with bondage is because of basically a fear of accepting personal responsibility. It's easy, and I found this out in pastoring in church, it's easy for people when the pastor tells them what to do, what to have oversight of, as opposed to them having to pray and seek that out for themselves. Because, you know, what happens when I have to pray and seek it out for myself, what I find out, now I have to be responsible because I said, okay, this is what's been shown to me. And there, even when it comes to our nation, whether it's government, freedom, whatever area it is, there are so many people that they're afraid of accepting personal responsibility for things. I have to accept responsibility if I'm working on a job. And if it doesn't go right because of something I did or didn't do, I have to say, guess what? It was me. So now I need to find out what I need to do to correct it so that things are going to work. All right? Another issue that we have.
Let me interject. Pastor, let me interject right here. I'm going to ask you a couple pointed questions here about what you're saying. When did it become the norm not to discuss politics in church setting? And, yeah, let's start there. When did that become the norm?
You know, I'm not sure when it became the norm, whether it was something that just kind of evolved over time. I just know that, you know, from my experience being involved in churches beginning, you know, in the 19, I guess when I became conscious of things, we've been in the 1970s into the 80s. And I just came to understand that if you were in church, and especially if you're a preacher, well, you know, politics was something you didn't touch. And I'm not sure, you know, exactly where that came in, why it came in, but I don't see it in the documents and things that we have that we're not supposed to.
All I see in the Bible, I mean, from almost the very beginning of it to the very end of it, all I see is conflict between man, a man of God, and the government somewhere. That's all that's in there, constantly. Mm-hmm. Even Jesus.
It's constantly there.
Constantly.
Mm-hmm. And see, you know something, that's just
what is your go ahead.
No, you go ahead. That's fine. I've been talking.
No, go ahead. Finish.
Um,
Yeah, that should help you to see what you said. That should help us to see.
Okay, it should help us to see what is really going on. That it is, and I don't say this to stir up things in the natural where flesh and blood are concerned, because this is a spiritual thing. But yet, it should be plain to us to understand that we're dealing with a conflict of governments. And it always has been. Man has been in the middle of it, but it's been a conflict between the government of God and the government of Satan and Lucifer. And we are in the middle.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, this all comes down to who are you? Are you divinely created and endowed with certain rights, or are you a beast to be herded and controlled by people who know better than you in a governmental structure for your own good? That's what this is. Quickly, we got to break, but quickly, when you told your congregation about the birth certificate, how that you were used as the surety on the debt and stuff, what did people in your congregation, did they just flip out? They think you're crazy or what?
Initially, but like I said, when the people started looking into it, it's like, wow.
All right, on the other side, let's see. I mean, this is a pastor talking about the birth certificate and giving your children over to the state. I mean, this is a man of God, ladies and gentlemen. Stay tuned. Pastor Nicholas Wright, America's pastor. Last segment with Pastor Wright. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you got to understand, I don't know if we're getting it across or he's kind of being a little modest or I don't know. He tells his congregation about the jurisdiction, about the corporate America, how they're taking your names, putting them in all caps, and using them away from the Bill of Rights and away from the Declaration of Independence, and that the Declaration of Independence is the instrument to really the closest instrument we have to entrance and protection in the kingdom of God, whatever that is. That's the kind of things he teaches his congregation. My question to you, Pastor, when you first started bringing up things like the Federal Reserve and the birth certificates to people, I mean, did they look at you cross-eyed? Did they run to another church in the city or what?
Many of them looked at me cross-eyed, but you know, for many of them, they have been in our church for so long. And they would know, unless I got hit upside the head, you know, or something crazy happened, that I was not going to share anything with them that wasn't going to do them good. I mean, that's the integrity of the Word of God that we have preached over the years. We've never, ever, ever, ever tried to preach what we, you know, just wanted to do because we felt it was nice or for personal gain. It was always because it was what came out of the scriptures and what we were convicted of ourselves. And so when we went this direction, of course, it was something new. But at the same time, the people that knew us well knew, okay, if he's coming out with these things, there must be something to it. So I need to take what I'm hearing and go do my homework. Just like we encouraged them when we would teach the word. We said, don't just take what we're saying. Take it home, and you put it in the test tube for yourself, and you find out what it is that God is saying. Well, it's the same thing with these things. We never tell them just take what we say. No, you take it home, you know, find books, get on the web, listen to people that know more about it, search it out for yourself. And that's they have been taught to do that for a long time, the ones that, you know, are still around. And so, you know, they started doing that, and lo and behold, the light, you know, as hard as it is for many of them to accept, they know and understand that these are things that are going on. But they also know and understand that we're not wrestling with flesh and blood. And this is a point I wanted to make, because this is a spiritual thing. And, you know, we're not here to try to make life hard for people in the natural, but at the same time, we know that we need to zero in on satanic forces that are governing and directing other men and women. So we don't fight with people, but we do take our authority in the spirit, and we start speaking light, and we start speaking life, and we start in our prayers, we declare that light floods our hearts and our minds, and that light floods this nation. The light of God rises and shows people exactly what's going on so that they can see for themselves and then make decisions. and we're focusing on unifying people around what is true and what is right, and against spiritual forces that are coming against, because this really is all about the kingdom of God. I don't care what anybody says, what anybody believes. It's all about the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of darkness. And all throughout the scriptures, and if people don't want to look at the Bible, just look at history. It tells you that it's all about these kingdoms that want to rule and dominate men. And that's what Satan desires to do, is to rule and dominate men through other men. And if you can't see that, if a person can't see that, you got something wrong with your vision. It's just that simple. When we look at the nations and what's going on right now, we have people that are satanically inspired that want to govern and enslave other people. That enslavement didn't originate with man. It originated with Satan. It's that simple.
You said a word that I just absolutely love. You said conviction. I am so happy to have met you. You represent the most important person in America today, in my opinion. The most important. The most important. It's a man of God who purports himself to be a man of God. The congregation that is actually preaching this and tying it with the Bible and with the Declaration of Independence, and being able to create an atmosphere of conviction in your congregation, because it will be, and it can only be, the conviction of people that can overcome the beast that is on us right now. Your couple minutes left, your final thoughts.
Yeah, I would encourage people to do their homework and find out what jurisdictions are on our land, and to be diligent about finding that out, and then looking, you know, making a choice as to where you're going to stand, because there are two major ones that we're dealing with, and we have, it's no different than it is in the scriptures where it is spiritually. We have a republic that was delivered to us, and there were principles that were laid out for us to live and walk in it, and then we have another entity that came along, just like in the Garden of Eden. The congruencies are amazing. They're all the same. And they came along to take men away from who they are and to bring them into bondage. And I would encourage men and women, boys and girls, as we talk to our young people in the church like this too, do your homework. Figure out what you need to do.
I know that you're in the process of looking at your congregation, 501c3, doing something different, kind of pulling apart from that. As you've went through that process, it's been difficult probably for your congregation to explain that to them, but somebody else looking at that, other pastors around, explain maybe briefly that 501c3 decision and what they're staring at.
To me, what you're staring at is freedom, because it's the way that, you know, things were meant to be, to where you, and it's the same thing for our personal lives. God made us to be free, and their freedom is in law for our land, our republic. Everything is all there. It's just a matter of us learning how to attach ourselves to it. But that's the thing, is freedom to be and to do what God put inside of your heart to do without any man or woman trying to tell you what you're supposed to do.
There's the music. It's been a pleasure, as always, talking to you. We've had, ladies and gentlemen, several guests. Al Whitney comes to mind. There's several other, if you look them up, that have talked about this jurisdiction. You know, why did Roosevelt make an executive order to take your gold in 1933? Why did he do that? How does that relate to the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights? How can those possibly be the same thing? It's a different jurisdiction. You are cattle and beasts to this control system, and they have pulled us nearly all the way into it. And the next step, we certainly don't want to go there. Revival, conviction, liberty, freedom. It all is on the line. Pastor Nicholas Wright is the man to preach this. He is preaching this. And you are the people to stand. Knowledge is power. God bless you. We'll see you soon.